we're going to talk about Moses. And he's really a Messiah type as being a mediator between Yahweh and men. So we're going to go to Matthew 17, verse 1, page 18 in the New Testament.
Matthew 17,
you said? Chapter 17, verse 1.
One further there. Once she is.
And after 6 days, Yahushua taketh with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and bringing them up into a high mountain apart, and was transformed before them, and his face shone as the sun, and his garments became white as the light. And lo, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah conversing with him. So we're going to see this same incident happens to Moses. As we go into Deuteronomy 34, we're going to begin at the end of his life. Chapter 34, page 235. You need a Bible? Yeah, you need a Bible?
You I can share.
Yeah, okay. We can share.
Deuteronomy what?
34, 5, and 6. Start at the end of the book. His life. Be inspiration for us all. So Moses, the servant of Yahweh, died there in the land of Moab at the bidding. And every time you see bidding, what's that word? Mouth. Peh, P-E-H. So whenever you see they put, it's at the mouth of Yahweh. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man hath known his burying place until this day. Why would that be?
So they couldn't worship him?
No, they wouldn't worship him. And now Moses was 120 years old when he died, and his eye had not dimmed, nor had his freshness fled. Now we go to 10 through 12. And there arose not a prophet any more in Israel like unto Moses, whom Yahweh acknowledged, what?
Face to face.
This is really, and the face of Yahweh is very, very important. The eyes of Yahweh are toward the righteous, and his ears towards the cry for help. The face of Yahweh is against such as do wickedness, to cut from the earth their memory. So when Yahweh's face is not on you, you're on your own. Where Yahweh acknowledged him face to face, and by all the signs and the wonders which Yahweh sent him to do in the land of Egypt, unto Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and unto all his land, and by all the firm hand, and by all the great terror which Moses wrought in the sight of all Israel. What a guy. So we're going to see a little bit of that. What an introduction. And these are some facts. There's only one man in the word of Yahweh named Moses. Yahweh made specific on that. So if you look at Moses, in the Old Testament it's used 768 times. Now other people have names, Saul, you know, and you've got like maybe Jeremiah, Nehemiah, Yahushua.
Manasseh.
Moses, the word Moses and servant together are used 40 times. Which is interesting because that's a number of what?
Probation.
We know the 40 days and 40 nights, 40 days and 40 nights is all that. It's used together 40 times. David also is a sacred name. Nobody else is in this word is called David. Except for David. David, which is interesting too. It's used 1,076 times. And David, my servant, is used 15 times. So we're going to begin in kind of part two. Well, we'll start with part one. Moses went up the mountain where we got the tablets and conversed with Yahweh how many times altogether? Anybody remember?
Six or seven.
Supposed to be seven.
Six times. So most time people think twice, and that's usually from the Ten Commandments. He goes up, breaks it, comes down, breaks the tablets, then goes back up, and then comes down. But he actually did it six times. So we're going to go to Exodus chapter 19, verse 3, page 102. Remember, he's 100 years old. But that makes no difference.
When he went up the mountain?
Yeah.
He was in his 80s.
Right, he started when he was 80.
started up the
mountain. It was a long mountain.
No, and that's what we got to think. You know, you got to think the impossible.
Yeah.
With Yahweh, all things are possible. So here's number one, Exodus 19:3. Go ahead and read that, Melania.
And when Moses had gone up unto Yahweh.
No, that'd be Elohim. So remember, anytime it's capital G, small O or D, if you're not sure, just say God.
Okay.
If you're, but it, that would be Elohim.
Okay.
And in the New Testament, there is no Yahweh. So if it's a proper name, we change God to Yahweh. If it's who he is, if I say, my God is, I would have to say, I can't say my Yahweh is Yahweh. I would say my God is, but if you're not sure, just go ahead and read the words that's there, and that's fine. And so do it. We'll start again at verse 3.
And when Moses had gone up unto Yahweh, Elohim. And when Moses had gone up unto Elohim, then called Yahweh unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say unto the house of Jacob.
Okay, that was his first time up when he went up. Just verse 3. That's number 1. Number 8, Esther. Verse, this is the second trip. 19, verse 8.
And all the people responded together and said, all that Yahweh hath spoken will we do. And Moses took back the words of the people unto Yahweh.
And where was that?
The mountain.
Back up the mountain. Back up the mountain. You're like, oh, boy, it would be nice to have intercoms.
Hey, Yahweh, can we get an elevator up here?
Because coming down is just about as much work as going
that's
up.
That's like Bama, somebody in that line upstairs.
That's true. Oh. Now, verse chapter 19, verse 20, Isaiah, read that.
Verse 20. Thus came up Yahweh down upon Mount Sinai to the top of the mount, and Moses went up.
No, and Yahweh called Moses.
Oh, and Yahweh called Moses unto the top of the mount, and Moses went up.
Okay, there is number 3. Now we go to 24, verse, chapter 24, verse 9. This will be number 4.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
24, verse 9, Elijah.
Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel.
Okay, there's number 4. And so what you can do is you go back in your word and put 1, 2, 3, 4th. So I just did that with 4th. Now, 32, 31. And by the way, you know, Bollinger did this. It's a pen, it's actually an annotated Bible, a companion Bible, on chapter 19, verse 1 of Exodus. And so there's a little thing right here. And then he'll also say, note that the two sets of three, which are marked off by the two great events, the giving of the law and the giving up of setting up the tabernacle, while the fourth and the sixth ascent are marked by the giving of the first and second tables or tablets. The fourth and sixth ascent are the fullest and receive special expansion.
When was the fifth?
We haven't done that yet. We're on 24. Did we do 24?
Yeah, we did 32.
Oh, yeah, 32. This is the fifth. 32, 31.
Page
916. So Moses returned unto Yahweh and said. So when it says Moses returned unto Yahweh, what does it mean? Back up. And if you look at, he's got in here the 6 times he ascended and the 6 times he descended. So I'm not going to go to the verses where he descended. But go to that place. So that's number 5. Now we go to 34:4. And this is number 6. So he hewed 2 tables of stone like the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up into Mount Sinai as Yahweh had commanded him, and took in his hand 2 tables of stone. There's the 6 occurrences. Now we're going to get into a little more detail. We kind of covered last week on the covenants, and one of these places was with Moses. on the break, which everybody knows, the breaking of the tablet. But let's just do a little review on that, and that's the first covenant, chapter 20, verse 1. And this is so much like us today.
How many times did Yahweh give the Ten Commandments?
Well, we're going to see. Now, so right here, 20 verse 1 through 3. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yahweh, thy Elohim, who hath brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of servants. Thou shalt not have other gods besides me. This is just really simple. And we know, very simply, 40 days, they broke that. And same day today. Probably 99% of all Christians breaking the same commandment. And who's that other God? Who are those two other gods?
Holy Spirit and Jesus.
Yeah, Holy Spirit and Jesus. Right off the bat. The first commandment. The first commandment. And then, and in the, and what they call in the, and in this particular place, in the perfect state, the verb perfect state, which means it's spoken of it as a past tense. Thou hast not other gods besides me. And when you're saying that about a future event, that means
it's absolutely,
absolutely not. And the rest of the nine commandments, it's not in the perfect state, but in the imperfect. Do not do this. Do not do this. Do not this. But it says here, thou hast not done this.
Yeah.
And so that's the only commandment, and that's exactly what 99% of all Christians have done. And then if you don't do it, what are you called?
Hypocrite.
A heretic.
Heretic.
And actually, we found out what the word heretic means, which is who pursues.
Is what?
He who, if you look at the etymology, it's very important. What we try to do here is accuracy is everything. So when somebody says a heretic by Merriam-Webster, that means nothing. Merriam-Webster absolutely means nothing. That'd be like saying heretic by Chuck Cunningham means, never go, who's Chuck Cunningham? Well, Merriam-Webster is the same thing because it's not Merriam, it's not Webster. So Webster has become a general term that anybody can use the word Webster and anyone can use a Merriam. And what they actually give you, this is often, is they give you the what?
Vulgar.
Usage? The vulgar usage. How it's presently being used, not the etymological usage. So a heretic is actually one who pursues information. And I'm a heretic, but absolutely. But if you look up the dictionary, it's not going to say that. Because the dictionary gives you the vulgar usage and not the true usage. So, I got off the subject here. But that is what would be called anybody who does not believe in the Trinity and believe and actually obey the Ten Commandments is called a heretic. And isn't that like our adversary? I mean, if you obey the commandment, you're a heretic. Disobey the commandment. So you can become orthodox. Now we go to verse...
What chapter?
Same chapter, 18 and 21. Kind of sum this back up. And all the people were witnessing the voices and the torches and the sound of the horn and the... this is great. This is, you know, they're all told to come to the mountain. And all the people were witnessing the voices and the torches and the sound of the horn and the mountains... And the mountains smoking, so then the people were struck with awe. What does that mean?
Fear.
And not wonderment. It means fear. And shrank back and stood afar off. They said unto Moses, speak thou unto us, and we will hear. Let not Elohim speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, do not fear, for to the end he may prove you, hath Elohim come. To the end the reverence of him may be upon your faces, that you sin not. So then the people stood afar off, and Moses approached unto the thick gloom where Elohim was. And, okay, so we know that. And there's going to say, we're going to obey you, right? Mm-hmm. Everything that he tells you to do, we're going to do. And as you know, in 32, chapter 32, verse 1. Now this was coming down. Let me see here. This is his fourth coming, his fourth coming down. Well, he's actually still there. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, what? Esther or Light or anybody?
Make for us gods.
Make for us gods. Why? Who shall go before us? For as for this Moses, he's dead. Nobody can be on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. There's no food up there. There's no water up there. He's dead. That's a month and a half, right? Okay, he's dead. This was a probation period. Was it Moses' probation?
No.
It was the people's probation.
Yep.
Did they pass it?
Nope.
No, it's like your parents saying, okay, Elijah, we're going to be gone for the weekend, and I want you to take care of the house and nobody to come over. Yes, I will obey your word. And then you have somebody come over and you're dead for 2 days, and then the third day, they're not going to know, and they come home, and your parents come home, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, bam. Your probation, you flunked. Because you're being tested, and you flunked. Let's see here. So we know that, and now we go to verse 19 of the same chapter. And this is when he comes down. So this is 32:14. This is the fourth coming down. And it came to pass when he drew near into the camp and saw the calf and the dancing and the anger of Moses kindled, and he cast out the hands of the tables and break them in pieces at the foot of the mountain. Why? What was on those tablets?
Covenant.
The covenant. The covenant, which is the agreement between Israelites and Yahweh. 40 days they couldn't keep that. I mean, that's really pathetic. And so he broke, there's no covenant. And Yahweh says there's no covenant. So that was the first 40 days. It's going to happen again. We're going to give him another chance, called the second covenant. So he's going to get another 40-day probation, but this one they pass. And that goes into 32, verse 30. Now we'll kind of begin our story. So Wendy, you want to read 32, verse 30, and read to 33, verse 23.
And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin. Now, therefore, I must go up unto Yahweh. Peradventure, I may make a propitiatory covering for your sin. So Moses returned unto Yahweh and said, oh, now this people has sinned a great sin, and they've made for themselves gods of gold. Now, therefore, if thou wilt forgive their sin, but if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. And Yahweh said unto Moses, him who hath sinned against me must I blot out of my book. Now, therefore, go lead the people to the place which I spake to thee. Lo, my messenger shall go down before thee.
Stop you there very simply. This is the problem, because Yahweh said, I'm not going before you. My messenger is going before you. So watch this dialogue goes back, and Moses knows this. But in the day when I do visit, then will I visit upon you their sin. And this is very interesting, too, in footnote E, if you look down there, is there not then such a thing as postpone punishment? And then he gives you the rest of the thing Rotherham does. Postpone punishment. And that's with us too. We have postponed punishment where we do not confess our sins. And we're going to be judged for the good and for the evil. Now if we've confessed our sins and done restitution, then that's covered. If we haven't, then you're going to pay for it. Verse 35, and Yahweh plagued the people for what they had done with the calf which Aharon made. Yeah, and then you say, God, you know, Aaron or Aharon, you're making a calf. Then spake Yahweh unto Moses, get thee away, go up from hence. This is his fifth visit up, going up. Brought up out of the land of Egypt into the land of which I spake to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, to thy seed will I give it. And I will send before thee a messenger. There's a messenger again, not me. I'm sending a messenger, and will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites into a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in thy midst. There it is. Why? In that a stiff-necked people thou art, lest I consume thee in the way. I'm going to stop right there. We're going to continue, but this is very important. Look at chapter 32, verse 25 on the other page. And Yahweh saw the people that, what?
You said verse 25.
No, chapter 32, verse 25. Just look over to your left.
I am.
What does verse 25 say?
And
people.
And Moses
saw the people that
unbridled
they were. For Aaron had given them the rein. This is what parents are supposed to do. And don't become like Aaron. I am not my children's friends. Period. And once I gave them the rein, they made a golden calf. Now, Moses is going to put the bridle back on. Now watch. And these are the Levites. 28. So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell among the people on that day about how many?
3,000 men.
Hey, did the pastor kill his church members?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did. There's 3,000 bad people that need to be killed. That was part of his church. They were out in the wilderness, right? They voluntarily came out there? Yeah, they did. And he had the Levites kill these people. Is that putting the bridle back on?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did. He put the bridle right back on. So when Yahweh's saying stiff neck, so unbridled, stiff neck, you get to see that. And we, as leaders, have to keep the bridle on.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, Yahweh will leave us. It really comes down to it. He turns his face from us. I mean, we're still his sons and daughters, but he's not going to help us if we're walking in sin. You know, actually, Satan loves that. Let me see here. Let's go back in verse 33:3. And into a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in thy midst, in that a stiff-necked people thou art, lest I consume thee in thy way. If you will not listen to the word of Yahweh, you are stiff-necked. And so we have adults, 80 years old, 90 years old, who are not going to listen to this. They're not children. They're stiff-necked. It's really because they're stiff-necked. They're not humble. And humility is everything. Yahweh against the haughty arrayeth himself, whereas unto the lowly he giveth favor. Be made lowly, therefore, under the strong hand of Yahweh, that he may lift thee up in due time. You must be humble yourself as a child. If you don't do that, I mean, if you do that, he will raise you up. But if you're up here, you're going to be crushed down. And that's what happened here, is people got haughty. And when the people, verse 4, and when the people heard these evil tidings, they afflicted themselves, and they put not any man his ornaments upon him. And this is very important. I was looking up the paragraph Bible, and I said, what does ornaments mean? And he says, if you're going to be punished or whipped or something, you took off your ornaments.
What ornament? Like jewelry?
Well, it's probably jewelry or anything else, because you know, you're going to get a whipping. And that's why they put off their ornaments. That makes sense. Then said Yahweh unto Moses, say unto the sons of Israel, ye are a stiff necked. I'd like to Yahweh say, Donner, you're a stiff necked woman. Wow. Ow. Ow. Ah. Do I ever want to hear that? Do I ever want to hear that?
And you have to be able to say, that's for sure.
Man, I don't want to hear that. And so all of us have been at different times, but we've got to realize, boy, I don't want to ever hear that. And so when the messengers come to us, realize many times that messenger is from Yahweh. They might not be, but they could be from Yahweh. I approach a lot of people, and everybody else that I approach people with the truth, right? And they've rejected it, right? Mm-hmm. And if it's the truth, that was a message from Yahweh. When they rejected that, they became stiff-necked. When the word of Yahweh doesn't ring, you're a stiff-necked, which is fine. We'll walk out. And then when the messengers quit coming, you know what that means? They're a lost cause. Wow. So you never want to stop the messengers from coming. So when you cut off the connection, if somebody's reproving you or giving you correction, and when you cut that off, which you can't, because once it's cut off, you signal to the other person, don't do this anymore to me ever. Guess what? They won't. And now you have gone into rebellion against the Creator. Yeah. Hopeless. That's not what I'm talking about, but so they laid down their ornaments. So verse 6, So then the sons of Israel stripped themselves, it's all corrupted right here, stripped themselves of their ornaments and moved on from Mount Horeb. And Moses intended to take a tent and place it by itself outside the camp, far off from the camp, with these stiff-necked people, and called it the Tent of Meeting. And so it came to pass that whosoever was seeking Yahweh went out into the Tent of Meeting, which was on the outside of the camp. You know, that's so important. We've got to come to Yahweh to say, Yahweh, where am I stiff-necked? Where am I in the wrong place? And Yahweh can say, I'll send a messenger to tell you. And you're like, send people to me, send people to me, send people to me. And it came about that when Moses went in unto the tent, all the people used to rise up and station themselves, every man at the opening of his tent, and they watched Moses until he entered the tent. And it came to pass that when Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud came down and stood at the opening of the tent and spake with Moses.
Wow.
That's right. The cloud spoke with Moses. And that's Yahweh. And when all the people beheld the pillar of cloud standing at the opening of the tent, then all the people rose up and bowed themselves down, every man at the entrance of his tent. Thus Yahweh used to speak unto Moses, look at that, face to face, as a man. Now people say, well, the word of Yahweh came by holy men of God who spoke by the Holy Spirit. No, it came from the mouth of Yahweh. That's a figure, real simple. Face to face, Yahweh talked to Moses face to face. And they've got to get this Holy Spirit in here, like he's the entity. No, it's just face to face, very simple, mouth to mouth. And that's in Numbers 12. And then all the people rose up and bowed themselves down, every man at the entrance of the tent. Thus Yahweh used to, thus Yahweh used to speak unto Moses, the humblest of humble. Or otherwise you wouldn't have done it. Face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend, and when he returned unto the camp, his attendant, Yahushua, son of Nun, a young man, and this really doesn't fit, because he was only 10 years younger than Moses. And that paragraph Bible says sometimes a young man is a servant. It's a term for a servant.
Mm-hmm.
Makes more sense. Move not from the midst of the tent. Okay, and then, Wendy, can you carry on verse 12?
To where?
To verse 23.
Then said Moses unto Yahweh, see, thou art saying unto me, take up this people, and yet thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me, though thou thyself didst say, I acknowledge thee by name, yea, moreover, thou hast found favor in my eyes. Now therefore, if I pray thee, I have found favor in thine eyes, let me know, I beseech thee, thy way, that I may acknowledge thee to the intent that I may find favor in thine eyes. See thou therefore that this nation is thine own people. So then he said, mine own presence shall go on, thus will I give thee rest. And he said unto him,
so this is where Yahweh said, I'll go with you instead of a messenger.
And he said unto him, if thy presence is not going on, do not take us up from hence. Whereby indeed shall it be known then that I have found favor in thine eyes, I and thy people. Shall it not be by thy going on with us? So shall we be more distinguished, I and thy people, than any people that are on the face of the ground. Then Yahweh said unto Moses, even this thing which thou hast spoken will I do, for thou hast found favor in mine eyes, and I have acknowledged thee by name. And he said, show me, I pray thee, thy glory. And he said, I will cause all my goodness to pass before thee, and will proclaim myself by the name Yahweh before thee, and will show favor unto whom I may show favor, and will have compassion on whom I may have compassion. But he said, thou canst not see my face, for no son of earth can see me and live. And Yahweh said, lo, a place near me, so then thou shalt station thyself upon the rock, and it shall be while my glory passeth by, I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Then will I take away my hand, and thou shalt see behind me, but my face must not be seen.
Isn't that cool? I'll keep reading 34, 1 through 4. Go ahead, Esther.
And Yahweh sent to Moses, key thee two tables of stone like the first, and I will write upon the tables the words which were upon the first tables shall break in pieces, and be thou ready by the morning, and thou shalt come in the morning into Mount Sinai, and they shall, and thou shalt thou station thyself for me there upon the top of the mount, and no man may come up with thee, and let no man much as hath been seen in all the mount, and let not even the flocks or the herds flee from that mountain.
So this is his sixth ascent. So he hewed two tables of stone like the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up into Mount Sinai as Yahweh commanded him, and took in his hand two tables of stone. Now we go to verse 5, and it was right there. 5 to 10, Melania.
And Yahweh descended in the cloud and took his station with him there and proclaimed himself by the name Yahweh. So Yahweh passed before him and proclaimed.
Now wait a minute, this is interesting. I'll take over. You see this italics right here? Mm-hmm. All this italics? It's neat that Rotherham made this as, look at the footnote A, this most gracious proclamation by Yahweh of his name and character is printed in the type set apart in his Bible for refrains, so as at once to call attention to the fact, we verify as we go, that this passage is well worth to be described as worthy to be described as the refrain of the Bible. Uh-huh. And that's a refrain is in between a verse. Listen to this. Yahweh, Yahweh. And as people don't even are forbidden to say the word Yahweh. And this is what Yahweh said. You know, isn't that a blasphemy where all of a sudden I love John Lynn said, who named Yahweh? Well, poor Yahweh, he had no dad and mom, so he had to name himself. But he named himself. And I thought, it's almost blasphemy to say his name. Yahweh, Yahweh, O El of compassion and favor, slow to anger and abundant in hesed and emet, keeping hesed to 1,000 generations, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, though he leave not utterly unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers upon sons and upon sons' sons and unto a third and to a fourth generation. Now, isn't that a great song right there? Then Moses made haste and bent his head down toward the earth and bowed himself down and said, if I pray thee, I have found favor in mine eyes, O my Lord, I pray thee, let my Lord go on in our midst. There is that, I don't want a messenger, I want you. In our midst, although a stick, is that a mediator or what?
Yeah.
You're not talking about, hey, you and me, let's take off. These guys are sleeping. We'll go have, I'll take my wife, we'll start a new generation. Yeah. Moses actually said that. I'm going to wipe them out. We'll start over. Yeah. And no, he's a mediator. He is helping the people. It is, so wilt thou pardon our iniquity and our sin and take us as thy own. And he said, lo, I am about to solemnize a covenant. In the presence of thy people will I do marvelous things which have not been created in any part of the earth, nor by any of the nations. So shall all the people in whose midst thou art see the work of Yahweh, for a fearful thing it is which I am doing with thee. Now we go to 27. Through 35. This is really great. Now we're about done. I know it's a lot of reading. But yeah, you got to see this whole story. You know, you're getting to see him face to face with Yahweh, clouds coming down, going into the cloud with thunder and lightning. And when Yahweh spoke, you know what he did? When people heard his voice, was it, hey, Melania? No, he scared the pants out of them. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't want, you know, they were scared to death.
They
you know, that's, and it was meant to be that way. I need some respect, so I've got to show you who I am. And so that's who Moses is talking with. And 27, and Moses, and Yahweh said unto Moses, here's the covenant, write for these words, for according to the tenor, and this is also his pay, mouth, according to the mouth of these words have I solemnized with thee a covenant and with Israel. This is the second time. He comes down 40 days later. They don't have a golden calf this time. Well, he got rid of the creeps that probably instigated. Those 3,000 are dead. And when he was there with Yahweh 40 days and 40 nights, bread he did not eat and water did he not drink. Is that possible? Mm-mm. Physically possible? No. If Yahweh is a creator, he gave your body everything that you need. And he wrote upon the tablets the words of the covenant, the 10 words. And this is also called the 10 words, or the 10 commandments. But this is the 10 words. Now watch this when he comes down. This is great. And it came to pass when Moses came down out of Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony, which is the covenant. This is what we're agreeing to. In the hand of Moses, when he came down out of the mount, that Moses knew not that his skin of his face shone, though he had spoken with him. And remember, this was Yahushua on the mount. And Aharon and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, and lo, holy mackerel, we got an alien, but I know it's Moses. The skin of his face shone, and they stood in fear, that's awe, not wonderment, it's fear, of drawing nigh. He's radioactive.
Guys,
come on. Whoa, everybody's backing up. Come here, give me a hug. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Go away.
You're blind.
You got something on your face.
Yeah. So then Moses called unto them and Aharon and all the princes. It reminded me of Yahushua walking across the ocean, you yeah. see. And it's a ghost. Oh, it's me, guys. Oh, it's not. And Aaron and all the princes in the assembly returned unto him, and Moses spake unto them, and afterwards came nigh all the sons of Israel, and he gave them in commandment all that Yahweh had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. There's the covenant. And when Moses had made an end of speaking with him, he put over his face a veil. But as often as Moses went in before Yahweh to speak with him, he put aside the veil until he came out. And as often as he came out and spake unto the sons of Israel that which had been commanded, the sons of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. I love it. Yahweh doing that to him. He doesn't know there's no mirror. Hi, guy.
You can have an angel.
They're pulling a mirror. Take a look at you, man.
I'm going to take you out with me at night. Flashlights.
That'd be funny. I'm walking down at night, and there's all of a sudden, every face your head is there's a light.
Oh, I can see really well. What's this problem?
Him in his bed with his wife at night, she
couldn't
have pulled over her face.
Yeah,
you're blinding me.
Okay, this is the last 2 Corinthians 3, and we're going to see this shining of the face, page 182. This is the last verse, 2 Corinthians 3. 7. Guess what? We even got better. We're expected to shine brighter. Now think of this. This is, you're like, wow,
I'm not
really?
Doing a very good job.
Yeah, but you're like, this is what's available, guys. Here it is. Verse 7 through 18. So go ahead, Wendy.
But if the ministry of death in letters engraven in stones was brought into existence with
glory. Just a minute. Wait a minute. 2 Corinthians, I was telling Melania, she's not there yet.
Oh, I'm
2 Corinthians 3, verse 7.
Yeah, I was telling
you. Okay, okay. Start at 7 again.
But if the ministry of death in letters engraven in stones was brought into existence with glory, so that the sons of Israel could not look steadfastly into the face of Moses by reason of the glory of his face, which glory was to be done away, how shall not rather the ministry of the Spirit be with glory? For if the ministry of condemnation was glory, much rather doth the ministry of righteousness abound with glory. For that which hath been made glorious hath not even been made glorious in this respect, by reason of the surpassing glory. For if that which was to be done away was brought in with glory, much more that which is to abide is in glory. Having then such hope as this, great openness of speech do we use, and are not just like Moses, who kept putting a veil upon his face, so that the sons of Israel should not look steadily unto the end of that which was to be done away. But their thoughts were turned into stone, for until this very day, the same veil upon the reading of the old covenant abideth not to be removed. because in Christ it is to be done away. But until this day, whensoever Moses is read, a veil upon their heart doth lie.
Keep going.
Albeit whensoever he turneth unto the Lord, he taketh off the veil. And the Lord is the Spirit. Now where the Spirit of one who is Lord is, there is freedom. And we all with unveiled face.
Look at that. We all with unveiled face. When he took the veil off, he's talking to Yahweh. Right?
Receiving and reflecting the glory of the Lord, into the same image are being transformed, from glory into glory, even as from a spirit that is Lord.
Okay, I'm going to end there, but go to Acts 7, and then we'll end. It just hit me. Who else was shining?
Stephen.
Yeah, this is Stephen.
Acts what?
Chapter 7.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this. And that should be our goal.
This one. Righteousness.
I guess it's 16 verse 15.
Acts 16 verse 15.
Yeah, Acts 6. I'm sorry. What did I say? Acts 6 verse 15. Go ahead, Elijah.
So that even unto the broadways where they bring forth.
No. Chapter 6.
Verse 15. And looking steadfast at him, all they who were sitting in the high council saw his face as if the face of a messenger.
Amen. Wow. Okay, we'll stop right there. So, we think very small. Let's raise our expectation of what power of Ruach, the Spirit, of what Christ has accomplished. So I'll go ahead and end with a prophecy for the people who are listening, or viewing, or for the future. According to 1 Corinthians 14, as you begin each day and as you take this moment and meditate upon the greatness of my words that set you free, that my words that have brought you here, my words that will put new life into your various cells, as it did my son. Put those words on in your mind and do not disagree with me, do not argue with me, but become humble and seek me and bow to me and eat the words that I have given you, and they shall fill every cell with nutriments that will make you rise into a position you had no idea was even attainable. Because with me, all things are possible, and this will glorify me through your actions of obedience. Amen. Thank you, Father. See you next week.